If you follow me on Twitter or Instagram or just listen to me on the show, you know that I cannot sit still. I'm always on the move, and that means my phone's always about to die. Finally got a portable charger. It was a big game changer for me. If you're a vapor and you're tired of the same thing with your vape always dying or you're losing extra pods, you need to get Kite, a new portable vape charger and pod case that's compatible with Juul. Kite gives your vape up to 3 full charges, and it also holds up to 3 additional pods. So whether you're getting ready for an all-day tailgate or an all-night party or just a wacky adventure like one of mine, Kite will make sure that you're always charged up. Protect your vape, hold on to accessories, and store extra charges with one single case. And its slim profile means that Kite fits right into your pocket. Get yours today at kitecharger.com and get $5 off for a limited time. And use the promo code HIGHHATERS for free shipping. Kite products are not associated with nor sponsored by Juul Labs.
Oh, yeah. His eyes are cold and restless, and his wounds have almost healed. And she'd give half of Texas just to change the way he feels. She knows his love's in Tulsa, and she knows he's gonna go. Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood, it's that damn old rodeo. It's bulls and blood, it's the dust and mud, it's the roar of a Sunday crowd.
Yeehaw! Giddy up, welcome to a special edition of the High Hater Show. As usual,
I can't wait. I can't let Brent get away with that. Playing rodeo and not the Garth Brooks version is a travesty.
That's not
that
the Garth.
That wasn't even it's the
not,
Garth Brooks.
It's not
version.
On Spotify.
Oh my God. We're already making a poor showing for our special guest. But I have Chaps here coming in hot from Texas. We got Brent in the booth, and we are joined by two of the top PBR bull riders in the entire world. We have Keyshawn Whitehorse. Am I saying that?
Yeah, you are.
I'm not screwing that up. And Tanner Byrne, saying that correct too. Yeah, not screwing that up. But you guys are some of the most. Keyshawn, you're number 19 in the world last year, rookie of the year. You, number 31 last year. And I was watching videos of you guys, and it like literally took my breath. I was very anxious. I had to watch the Great British Baking Show afterwards to calm my nerves. It was very stressful. But you guys are in town because at MSG this weekend, Friday through Sunday, it's the big competition here. It's the first of the year. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's going to be one of the, it's actually a PBR major, so it's going to be one of the biggest events for PBR throughout the whole year. I mean, the fans we love at MSG are great. So it's going to be overall, it's going to be the best bull rides and the best environment for PBR.
Oh, yeah. And I think people, too, I've been to a couple of them here in New York City. And it's bizarre, first of all, walking up to MSG and seeing people in cowboy boots in New York City for the first, and like hats, like the cowboy hats and everything, because you're so not used to it going to the bars around MSG, because normally it's like for a basketball game or for the Rangers or for whatever, and or for some kind of concert. So that's always fun to see. And then the actual event itself, to see MSG turned into a rodeo is so, so cool. So if you have a chance, if you're in the area, come out and check it out. But it's the first major event of the year. Have you had a long break then?
Yeah, or, we've had our season runs from this weekend, so the first weekend in January, until the middle of May. We get a summer break, and then we go until August till November. So our finals were just in Vegas at T-Mobile, and we finished up there for the season. So we've had this time off since then. So about 2 months off.
About a month and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we're kicking it off right now here this
weekend. So they get you guys really like itching to go back, right? Like this, it makes you itch. Not only are you in MSG, what's it like? Last year you were a rookie, right, Keyshawn?
Yeah.
So if you're walking in for the, is that your first time at MSG? Is the first time you go?
No, this is actually my second time at MSG. I had went there as an invite in 2017. But, you know, definitely, I mean, this is the way we make a living. If we don't get on bulls, we don't ride bulls, we don't make any money. So you have to ride. And whenever we're out, you know, yeah, every now and then when we're being banged up, we like to take a break. But whenever we take that time off and start feeling better, we automatically just want to hurry up and get back on.
And I have to ask, too, because you are the first of your family to be a bull rider. how the heck do you get into that? It's not like, oh, we signed her up for T-ball. It's like, oh, we're putting you on a bull. Like, how does this happen?
I seen it when I was on TV when I was little. I was asleep. My dad was watching bull riding at night. He has always been a fan. He had gone on a few bulls before, but nothing. Like, he never really hit the rodeo trail or anything like that. And I woke up, I sat by him, and I didn't say anything. I remember it was just quiet, and the only words that came out of my mouth is, I want to do that, Dad. So ever since that moment, I didn't look back. I don't know why, but I guess it was meant to be.
Yeah. He's like, oh, shit, flips the channel to, like, Xena Warrior Princess. He's like, no, so pick something a little. Were they nervous letting you get into it? Or they were like, hey, this is what you want to do. Fully support you.
The next day, my dad bought me boots, cowboy hat, shabs, bull ropes, spurs. So, yeah, he was pretty supportive from the beginning. On my mom's side, I could tell she wasn't so much. You know, mom's trying to protect her kids. So it wasn't too hard to convince my dad. It was just my mom.
That's awesome. And you come from a bull riding family. Your brother is also a professional rider?
He's a bullfighter.
A bullfighter.
Yeah. So his job is to protect us 35 guys, top 35 in the world. We vote in the top bullfighters every year, and they kind of get the gig for the whole following season. So there's three of them, and their job is strictly to protect us. So when we get bucked off or when we make the 8-second ride and we get off, we try to get away safely, it's their job to take that bull's attention away from us. And that means put their life on the line. If it's going to come to a hit, if it's us getting hit or them getting hit, they're always going to take that hit for us. So my dad also did that job for many, many years. So I was born into this sport, and it's kind of like having a dad, I guess, that played in the NHL. You were never, you know, forced into the sport or anything, but it's all you ever really knew and all you ever were around. So it's all you ever did. So yeah, it's been part of my life since day one for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I did a little bit of bullfighting like two years ago.
I told them, Chaps is going to tell you all about his bull thing that he did.
I know. Now, a lot of people will say that it's not a bull because it was a girl cow, but that thing
cows are all female.
It was just ridiculous. I woke up the next day. I don't think I've ever had a bruise like that. Was when you first started and you get your first really gnarly bruise, did it make you question your decision? Like, this is what I want to do with my life?
I question my decision every day.
Oh, yeah. I would. Watching the videos, I was like, how do they keep doing this? Oh, my God.
No, I think that's just the lifestyle. And it's kind of, especially when you're a kid, you've grown up and you see all these tough guys and they get wrecked out. And then you see them, like, riding through all the pain. That's like, oh, yeah, I'm one of them guys now. You break something and you're like, shit, like, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah, you're like, I better walk out the arena. You know, even though you have a broke leg, I better walk out of here.
Oh my God.
Kind of the mentality, I guess, and the
what's your nastiest mindset. Injury that you've had?
I had a couple of my I had one year that was really terrible. 2017, I was out most of the year. I was getting on practice bulls before this event in MSG, like 3 days before it, and a bull stepped on my back and it broke my shoulder blade and broke my collarbone, and I was out for 8 weeks and came back probably a little bit too early. And the first bull I got on, it stepped on my left leg and then put its horn underneath my right knee and hooked me. And so then when it hooked me, I was like stuck. So it just totally split me and it tore all my groin muscles off, like right off the bone, my two on the left and two on the right, the adductors
and
gracilis.
What do you mean split you? Like open?
Like
his muscles stretched the way they were supposed to stretch.
Yeah, right? My legs went opposite ways.
God.
Than where I was supposed to go. Yeah. And so it just tore totally everything in there, and I went to a bunch of doctors and they're like, I don't know what to do about this.
Yeah. Good news, you can do splits great now. Yeah, try dancing is gonna be your thing.
You can't move or breathe or do anything.
Ballet, here we go.
I did that, and then I ended up just
Well, now
taking,
I feel like a huge pussy after saying earlier.
I ended up taking like 6 months off. I didn't do surgery or anything. I just tried to let it heal, so it's still all messed up in there, but I've got everything else kind of stronger to try to take care of it a little bit better. But so I was out for 6 months, came back and tried to salvage my season and still make the finals and, you know, Yeah. My job. And a couple bowls in, got wrecked out again and broke a bone in my ankle and a bone in my wrist. So I was like, nah, this is just a bad omen on the year. So,
but I'm feeling a good vibe because this is going to be your fourth time, right?
Yeah.
At MSG. So, you know what they say, fourth time's the charm, right? And maybe I'm off by, but I think I'm still feeling really good about it.
Oh, yeah.
How about you? When was the first time that you were like, oh man, this is like the real deal?
I mean, I don't know. I got stepped on when I was little on the back of my leg. I cut open my leg pretty bad. I didn't break anything, just cut it open. And that was the first time I ever had been split open when I ever rode. Other than that, when I was little growing up, I just hit the ground, bounce back up, get ready to go and get another one. But that was kind of the first moment when I was like, okay, well, this is part of it. And I had to actually know that this is part of it.
Right.
You know, rather than, oh, I'm just going injury free or whatnot. But unlike Tanner, most of my career has been thus far has been pretty good. I haven't had too many injuries, just had a few concussions and just had a broken ankle and, you know, a few muscle pulls and stuff like that, but nothing to the extent of his. So hopefully we can keep it that way.
Yeah. What a great way for us to get you ready for the weekend. Hey, how'd you guys get fucked up in the rodeo? How'd you get like, what's the worst thing? No, but that also made me think you were talking about strengthening and getting ready. In my mind, I'm no expert here, but I assume bull riders do nothing but leg day. Like, your legs are just enormous. Is that, like, how do you get ready?
I mean, for bull riding, you know, over the years, it's been kind of transferred over. Like, I think most modern people probably think that it's always been an athlete, so you go work out and go to the gym. Well, no, that's just kind of starting to happen now. Back then, it's just more you're a cowboy, you know, you ride horses, you work all day, you get on bulls, and, you know, then that's it. But now you probably see guys hitting leg day a lot more. But
I'm sure New York City's going to have a hip, like, come to our new bull riding, like, trainer experience class where you can, like, I can see that becoming
the new,
like.
You're just going to have a bunch of abductor machines in there.
yeah, that's it, yeah. Like the fake surfing classes they have here. But. That's crazy, though. But so now, are you guys into that, too, now? Or do you train more? Or it's like, no, I can't.
Yeah, like Tanner and I, we go train. You know, we do a variety of different training. Like, you know, you try to stretch and do yoga stuff as well because you got to stay limber and flexible because these bulls, like, it kind of split him away.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make sure you're able to. Basically, the training's all just so whenever we do need to take a hit or whenever we do need to give the extra strength, it's there. And for longevity in our career. That's the main reason behind our training. And, you know, it does help.
See, I like imagining cowboys doing nothing but, like, yoga.
Yeah.
We do tons of yoga.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't think. But, yeah, anything flexibility training, core strength. It's similar to would be to a gymnast, right? It's like pound-for-pound strength. You're never going to outpower a 2,000-pound animal. So we have to be able
to speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Second day at the gym after.
I can. But it's all, like putting yourself in the position to take the power away from them, from those animals. So you have to be able to control every single part of your being. So the littler you are, most of the time, I'm tall and not supposed to be a bull rider, but most of the guys are shorter guys and you know, really fit, smaller center of gravity type fellas.
Chaps, you'd crush it.
I know. Legs, little tiny legs. I'd be great at it. Bigger upper body. I rode bulls a little bit in high school because I came from a town that's just outside of Alabama, and they were just, I mean, very small, nothing compared to what you guys do. But I got scabies from it. Is that the concern you guys? Because I rode it in gym shorts.
Wait, can we time out? Is this humanly possible to get scabies from a bull? We're talking to two experts here.
I've never heard of it, but hey.
That's a first for everything, I guess.
He swears he rode it in shorts, and then he got...
But have you done it in a bathing suit?
No.
Have you done it in a bathing suit?
No.
That's not recommended.
No, it's really not. I want to go back in time and research this. I'm like, it was fleas, but you insist. It was scabies from that bull.
I promise you, it was scabies. I had to, like, put this ointment all over my legs, and it was just in the part that was touching the bull. I'm pretty
great.
Sure.
Great. Something else they got to worry about this weekend. Yeah. Scabies. Great. Yeah. Of course.
I think they might test the bulls here this weekend.
Speaking of the bulls, do you ever get... Because to me, it's chance, right? You don't get to pick the bull you get. And do you kind of know who the bulls are first? Do you do your research and you're like, I hope I get this one? Or you don't know. It's like down to the last second.
It's a draw, yeah. So we'll I think today, actually, the draw came out for the first day of, mm-hmm. of what bulls we have. So they take the top 35 guys, take the top 35 bulls, they put them into a computer, and it's a random draw. So then we'll kind of look at it, and some guys won't even look at it. They'll just roll in there and just, you know,
oh my
just
God.
Yeah. Try to make a game plan and just game on. But me personally, I like to know their tendencies or their tricks. You know, they're wild animals, so you can't really just focus that they're going to spin one way or the other or do the same thing every time, but they usually have their tendencies of which way they might spin,
right?
Or you know, if they might have some tricks to them, at least I know that in the back of my mind, and I can kind of be ready for it. But yeah, end of the day, it's a random draw. You hope you get a good one, and everything at this level is a good one, so really all you have to do is do your job and not really try to worry about the rest of that. But yeah, it's a different
kind
of
aspect. So who
coaches
you? Like on a day-to-day basis when you're training and doing stuff, you have like a regular coach, like a head coach, like a training staff? What do you guys do for that?
No, I mean,
we fly solo, man.
Yeah, we just solo. Besides if you
it's
like,
you
know.
It's a very lonely sport. By yourself, man. You're flying all by yourself. You're staying by yourself and. Yeah.
That's why all the good country
really?
Songs are about it. It's like the lone cowboy out there doing. Yeah.
Which is why we kind of have a cool camaraderie with our you know fellow riders, because really the guys that you're competing against, not really, they're your team. You know,
right.
they're whoever has the best bull that day. If we all do our job, that's the person that's going to win. So really we're not riding against each other. We're just trying to do our job, you know, riding that bull. So we get to travel all together, you know, to these different places every single weekend. So we spend more time really, you know, with everybody else than we are at home lots of the time. So we get to become really good friends and be there for each other when it comes down to the nitty gritties of it. So yeah, you're kind of, that's your team and coaches and, you know, you train with those guys and that's how you roll. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, usually you like, you know, if you ride or buck off, you know, if you buck off so forth, you know, you have your friend, which in the media's eyes and, you know, all the fans' eyes is technically your competition. You know, you'd go back to the locker room and you'd ask him, hey, what happened? What did I do wrong? What can I do better? You know,
and then
and you kind of collaborate on that and figure out what the solution will need to be. So it's kind of a little different than most other sports, you know, when others look at the next person as a competitor, you know, to us, it's a friend.
That's really, really cool. And have you noticed, do we need to go into a break, Chaps, or? Because I could pick their brains all day about this.
No, we'll just keep rolling.
Yeah.
Is there a bull this year that you look at and that everybody's like, I want a shot at that bad boy that has just been dominating the circuit?
Yeah, there's a bull called Bruiser, I would say. He's the two-time world champion.
Three.
Bull.
Three he's three now.
Holy smokes.
So people have won three world champions on this bull.
So, like, for example, like how we win world champions, the bulls can win world titles as well.
What?
Yeah, so their own competitions.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. I'm learning so much. I've been to these before, and I'm like, I don't know.
So he's tied with Little Yellow Jacket, which is a retired bull, and it's one of the greatest bulls out there. So, but the reason why Bruiser is so wanted is because, you know, he kicks high, but he's really, the way he bucks is a lot of timing and stuff, and, you know, it really helps a rider out. But the thing is, you cannot miss a beat on him. But if you stay in stride with him, everything works out smooth, really smooth with the way how he moves his body.
And he can give you a really good score. Like if you ride him and do your job like you're supposed to do on him, it's pretty much a guaranteed win.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
know, like, so
and there's lots of bulls that are probably harder to ride.
Mm-hmm.
That you won't get
a
score
you won't
on
get a high score.
Type of thing. You know?
I heard Dennis is a real pain in the ass. That one bull, isn't that?
So do you think that's in the judge's head? Like they're like, okay, Bruiser's here. He has that mystique. It's kind of like whenever LeBron James is having a good postseason, you know that he's going to get the MVP because he's playing well. Yeah. Like if another bull has to really go far and beyond what Bruiser's doing, because Bruiser's reputation is just so huge.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Especially
now,
you know, three-time world champ, same, you know. Like,
I mean, because there's just really not a bull like him. I mean, the way he kicks up in the air and he hangs up in the air for so long, and the timing he has and the flash he has, the way he bucks and the way certain riders can get on him and make him look even better. You know, there's not really a bull like that currently. So it's going to be tough to beat him. The only way is if a bull that's out there that just doesn't really is not very rideable and just continues to remain on that streak. Even the bulls that don't have many rides on them as much, you know, they have fewer rides on completed rides on them as Bruiser, they still don't beat him.
Yeah. I like to think that maybe I'll go this weekend.
So do you think
and I'll
do
be
you
like
with who,
I'm sorry, but instead of like rooting for a rider, I'll be there for Bruiser. I'm like the Bruiser.
There's tons
really?
Of people, yeah.
Oh, real original, Kate.
More Bull fans.
Yeah, no.
Oh my God, I got a new. I got to get a new angle. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Jeff.
So, do you think that the person who gets assigned, the rider who gets assigned Bruiser, is automatically the front runner? Because if he stays on 8 seconds, he's probably going to win.
Yeah, probably. But the thing with him is you know, like Keyshawn said, you stub your toe, he's going to put you in the dirt hard.
Right.
You know, you see a bunch of highlight tapes of guys
smashing
out high scores, 90s to 95s, and then you'll also see guys getting knocked out.
Yeah, you'll be seeing guys like riding him perfect, like around 5 or 6 seconds, and then they just miss one little beat, and, you know, everything's gone right there.
If that's the one, if you're coming back into the final round, that's the one that you're gonna want because then you just have to do your job type of thing.
Yeah, you don't have to like rely on the judges. All you got to do is, you know, if you ride this bull, you're gonna win it.
Yeah. Sounds pretty easy, actually. I mean,
yeah. Whenever you said his name, I googled some pictures of him, and he is enormous and looks like he's basically doing a handstand.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Like 1,800 pounds and jumping.
He's so he's vertical.
I wonder if he's bummed. If he's like, oh, I got Kevin. That guy sucks. Like, lame. I'm sorry. I'm like bombarding you guys with questions, but I was so excited when I heard you were coming in. If I was you guys, I would go to bars all the time that had the fake bull machine, and I would play dumb and be like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would get up there and crush it. Have you ever done that?
I have it personally. You know, I'm more of like a relaxed kind of guy. I like to just kind of relax. I like to get my sleep. I love sleep, so I have. Can't speak for Tanner.
You picked a real relaxing career.
We believe you.
Yeah.
You know, it takes enough out of you already at the arena. So, you know, when you're out of there, you got to relax as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Probably back in the day, I would have taken a spin on a mechanical bull or two for sure. But yeah, no, nowadays I'd probably get freaking wrecked out or some stupid thing.
How'd you finally get taken out? Tipsy's McStagger's bar had a mechanical bull one night, and I went a little too far. Yeah. But I was wondering that too. You're from Canada. You're Utah?
Yeah.
And there's bull riding in Australia, but do you see it picking up and growing and becoming a bigger thing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, you know, we've always had Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, and the United States were our main countries. And we've added this new format called the Global Cup, where they take the top 7 from each nation and we ride against each other. So it's like an Olympic type format.
Okay.
It started 2 years ago now. It was in Canada the first year. It was in Australia last year. And this year it's at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium.
Eagles fan here. Okay.
But that's where it's at this year, this Global Cup kind of format. So it's really, I feel like that has really grown it as well. Like, because, you know, you have like that team aspect and countries can get behind you. But yeah, we're getting guys from China, from Paraguay. There's a ridiculous amount of people starting to come forward that are seeing this of sport and wanting to try it, as well as the fan base. People, I feel like, especially when you come and see the events live, like you really get an understanding for what we do. If you just think of bull riders, you think of like a bunch of rednecks jumping on bulls and stuff, and then you come to an event and you're like, holy man, like this is pretty badass.
It definitely changed my first. It's the opposite with a NASCAR event. You go expecting hillbillies and you're like, yep, this is what it is. This is the opposite of that. But speaking on that too, I just want to say I saw the Global Cup thing taking place at Dallas Stadium, and you are going to be the first to compete in the historic All Native American USA Wolves team, which is awesome.
Yes.
So, how did that come about?
Honestly, I don't know exactly how it came about to the committee on creating a Native American team. I think because each country that whatever the event's taking place in. So in Canada, when it took place there in Edmonton, Canada had 14 riders. Home soil gets double the amount of riders. So each team usually has 7.
Mm-hmm.
So home soil gets 14. And I think USA was trying to figure out a way. And I think 14 riders from Team USA would have been like majority of all PBR. Yeah. So I think they're figuring out a way, you know, how can we make this diverse? And then I came in to the PBR, like, really made a wave this past year. So I think they saw that and said, hey, you know what? We can have a Native American team full of good riders and, you know, add to Team USA to help get the win. Poor mm-hmm. Team USA. No offense, Tanner.
Bring it on, man.
Canada. Huh. We actually get on the show a lot of callers from Canada.
Is there something
We have a Tanner that calls from Canada a good amount.
I'm a huge Canada guy.
It might be this one right here.
It might be you. One time we were like talking about golden
team
machines.
And we wanted to ask you because I'm...
Sorry, I think there's a slight delay, but we were talking about golden team machines on the show, that like golf computer game, and Tanner called from Canada. He's like, I'm trucking over to Alberta right now, and I know this car dealership that's got one. I'm going to send it down to you. And we're like, all right, Canada for the win. But sorry, go ahead, chaps.
And my favorite country music stars from your neck of the woods too, Coulter Wall.
Oh yeah,
I'm
man.
A huge Coulter Wall fan.
Yeah, he's from Swift Current, so that's like 4 hours from my house. I'm from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. So, yeah, his dad was the premier of our province. Brad Wall, man. Yeah,
that's what. Party. As soon as he saw where you were from, that was like another. Right. He was like, I'm gonna tell him about my experience with the bull and the scabies, and then I'm gonna ask about Coulter Wall.
Sleeping on the blind side, baby.
Yeah. So.
No, he's unreal, man. Yeah, I'm with you on that. 100%.
So with bull riding, whenever you're growing up, because, I mean, obviously you can be from any neck of the woods and go play t-ball, go play football, go play soccer. If you're a young kid who doesn't live in the country or you don't grow up with a lot of money, because I imagine, like, in order to have this type of bull around, it's pretty expensive. It's not like you can go pick one up from the Humane Society. How do young kids get involved in bull riding? Usually,
I think I think our sport comes from a lot, especially like I think especially for us, it does. It's more of a humble background for us, so a lot of us don't really have like just abundant amount of money like some other kids, you know, where they can go and play different sports and just go to a bunch of different clubs and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I mean, we don't necessarily need a bull to learn how to ride. You know, you create a barrel. You know, barrels are usually found around the ranch or the farm or something. You flip it sideways, that's your pretend bull. You practice, you know, you have these videos that you watch in your mind of your idols, and you just do the same thing you've done, and, you know, you try to interrupt the rodeo. I mean, for me, for example, I lived in Utah, then at a young age I moved to Texas, and I lived more in a city area, and mm-hmm. I didn't have any bulls. I didn't even have a horse to get on, you know. So it was really hard to try to figure things out, and all I had was a stationary barrel and my dad and the desire to want to get somewhere. So that's what we did, is train inside my garage every day. So, you know, some people, they have the arena, they have the whole setup with the horse, they had the knowledge, and coming from complete opposite ends of that.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I think a lot of the kids these days, they're proven to be able to become better. You see a lot of them now at a younger age getting on just about almost the same caliber as we get on.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're progressing a lot quicker.
That's awesome to
and
know.
When you're first starting, you're not getting on bulls like of this caliber, you know?
Right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So there's
here you go, kid.
Yeah.
I always explain that
like
others.
6 years old. getting on top of beast.
Yeah. Like, I just get on Bruiser at six years old. Let's go.
I like compare it to like hockey or football. You know, you start in the peewees and, you know, you work your way up. So you start on like smaller animals and calves and then work your way up. And I got on my first full-size bull at the age of 15, and obviously nothing like the caliber that we ride here.
Right.
Started getting on like on top-ranked bulls when I was 18, and then got onto this tour when I was about 20. So it's definitely a lifetime of commitment to your sport, just like any other sport if you're going to take it to the top level.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you know, like you said, these bulls at this level, this is how guys also make their living, is raising and breeding these top-ranked bucking bulls. Some of these bulls are worth, you know, Bruiser. I guarantee they wouldn't sell him for over $1 million. Like,
holy crap.
It's just like racehorses now. You can trace their bloodlines back generations and generations. And
oh, my God. I would hate to be the lady cow that's just like boop, boop, doo, 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 and then like, the gate opens up and it's Bruiser. I'd be like, what the fuck? Yeah. No.
Bruiser, big old cock comes
up. Yeah, no. Goodness. Hard pass. Sorry. That's where my mind just went. That's totally crazy.
Bruiser would break your fucking hips open.
I know. Yeah. I guess. What is that? Yeah. No, I won't go
I
there.
Mean, if you seek to desire athletic children, I guess you have. That's no problem there.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. My bulls are be number one. But
you're proud of your kids.
Yeah. Well, it's coming up this weekend again. I just want to give the details for anybody listening because, again, you're like literally on the edge of your seat the whole time because it just, again, and even just watching the videos, I saw one of you in Allentown where you ride the bullfight and then you just leap off. You're like 10 feet in the air. You land on your feet and you're like, skitter off or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like insane. It's so anyways, it's a 3-day event, Friday, January 4th through Sunday, January 6th at Madison Square Garden, plus a boxing style bull weigh-in outside of MSG was today.
Yeah,
we did that today.
How did that go?
We bring a bull and like set up a little pen outside, and then all the media comes, and what do we have today? The fire
police,
department or police. The police?
Huh.
Yeah, police department came, and so there's a big scale, and then you weigh like 8 or 9 guys and see how much they weigh compared to.
They actually had 12 guys there.
12
today.
Guys, yeah.
Wow.
So, and a canine.
That was like 2,000.
Nitro.
Yeah, nitro. That was like 2,000 pounds. And then they have a bull there, and then they put him on that scale too, and then everybody takes pictures. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
See how much what it takes for that amount of guys
to equal
the bull's weight.
And then I assume, as in boxing weigh-ins, the bulls talk shit to each other, but you can't quite tell what they're saying.
Yeah.
But
they give you that look.
They give that look. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster, and this is the 13th consecutive year that they will buck into the world's most famous arena as the toughest sport on dirt launches in the 2019 season for PBR, Unleash the Beast Invading the Big Apple. I'm not doing anything Saturday, so I might. I'll have foam fingers for each
I'm
of you.
I'm honestly not thinking about flying up tomorrow night to go. I'm really thinking about
come
flying.
Come on up.
Tomorrow.
Let's go. We'll wear our Bruiser t-shirts. Yeah, we'll have foam fingers for them. We'll have our hats. Yeah. So if you see an annoying lady in the front row. Like,
I know that lady right there.
Actually, I'll be in the back because I'm poor. But I'll be there. But should we head into a break?
We're going to go into the break. Fellas, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate you taking the time to come in and hang out with us. Go out and see them, Madison Square Garden. They put on the best show that the city will see for a long, long time. We appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
String band playing more of that honky-tonk's pretty young thing going dancing in the rain.
You're listening to High Haters.
Over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She asked,
all right, welcome back to High Haters. That's Tyler Childers. On Fridays, I think we're going to play you out with a little bit of liquor cabinet music because I know Fridays at work, I think everybody has this idea that Fridays are a little bit stressful at work.
Yeah.
Are less stressful at work. Would you say it's less stressful usually on Fridays? I always found that they were the worst because I wanted to get home sitting in traffic. Those days are just terrible, man. After Friday, traffic is a nightmare.
True. Everybody's a little more on edge to get to the good time, so they just are pains in the asses. Speaking of pains in the asses, we have some callers on the line that I have a little Chicago beef with, you might say.
All right. Well, I'll just let you take over from here. Here they are. What's up, Dave and Eddie?
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
How are you guys doing?
We're on our way to catch the University of Illinois Chicago Flames basketball game right now because we are not worried about the city of Philadelphia.
Sounds suspicious. Well, first of all, let me take the high road and congratulate Redline Radio and all you Chicago guys on becoming official hires. So I think that's great because you guys will finally have health insurance to fix all the stuff that's probably wrong with you out there, your clogged arteries and all that. So that's terrific. So welcome aboard.
Well, that was kind of backhanded compliment. I don't know how much that nice gesture you just tried to give us.
Well, you guys are coming out here this weekend, and we're doing an electric chair. So everybody's saying that I feel like all the Chicago people in the office are piling on us. And White Sox Dave called Philadelphia scum pretty much. He wrote a blog today, scumbag Philly fan gets arrested for stealing guitars, says go Eagles while on camera, represents Philly to a T. And he pretty much went on to call our city a dumpster fire. What say you to that? What do you have to say for yourself?
Preface this by saying my mom and my mom's family's basically from Philadelphia, so I know how Philly people work. It's a scumbag city. It just is a scumbag city.
And you know,
like I said, everybody with a brain in Philadelphia winds up in New York or D.C.
I have to
or
say,
Chicago, like my mom. Love you, mom.
Shout out to his mom. I do have to say, I wrote a blog in response, and I said, in response to White Sox Dave's attempted Philly diss, and in it, I spelled diss wrong in the title and posted it that way. So I guess you're kind of right on some levels there. It was a scumbag spelling job, a scumbag move. But what are your predictions for the game? What do you think's going to go down?
Okay, the public is hammering the Eagles right now for whatever reason. I know they're Super Bowl defending champions, all that. I don't get it. The Bears' defense is absurdly good. Khalil Mack is going to be in Nick Foles' rib cage all game. It's going to be, you know, cold, windy off the lake, home game. Like, I'm not saying the Eagles can't win, but I'm saying I'd be very shocked if they would.
I feel like the only force you have going for you really is the wind right now. I'm not really too worried about it. And actually, the last three games alone, we're averaging over 28 points and 420 yards. So, I don't know, 420... I'm feeling pretty calm about it, my friend.
The last time we played was like Mark Sessman year. Probably counting the fucking Deuce, what's his name? Wallace?
The Deuce Staley?
Deuce Staley.
Deuce Wallace. From like 2002. Learn some football.
Deuce Wallace is a backup quarterback at Vanderbilt. I don't know how I know that. But anyways, yeah, the Eagles literally limped into the playoffs. I know they beat the Rams. The Bears just beat them 2 weeks earlier. Like, who gives a shit? Am I crazy right now?
You know what? You're sounding awfully defensive. But the only defense you should be worried about is the Eagles, because we've only been allowing under 18 points per game during the last three-game win streak, my friend, giving up just two passing touchdowns during this span.
Did you like
Kate has Google?
Am I supposed to report with like the Bears have been scoring 31 points per game in the last 3 weeks or something?
All right, let's move on past the game, guys. What's been for your first full week here, or nearly your first full week? What's the highlight of not going into a regular job where you have to impress somebody or you have to grind it out every single day? The grind is different. What's the highlight for you guys?
We opened a little like 150 square foot office that's like 100 feet from my apartment. So I don't even get up and change. It's awesome.
I mean, that's essentially working from home.
That's
like, that is unbelievable.
I'm basically working from home.
And it's probably really cold there, but you're not so cold that even if you wanted to, you don't even have to put on anything but basketball shorts.
I've been wearing sweatpants the entire week.
Beautiful.
It's awesome.
And I saw what you're saying,
Eddie,
too.
You've already got it.
I forget which one of you Chicagoans wrote it, but that you're so glad you don't have to deal with, and you even posted a picture, your coworker at the next cubicle bringing in a plastic container like crammed full of old White Castle. Like, you don't have to smell other people's gross lunches anymore. You don't have to be at the cubicle farm doing all that kind of stuff. So really happy for you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was me. Some kid, he just used to roll up with, like, 10 old sliders. Like, he'd just pack them into a Tupperware. They'd be all smashed. Like, basically, like, he could tackle them. He could fold them up, you know?
Yeah.
And it smelled like shit. And, it was horrendous. So that's definitely been a high point, I would say, Kate.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. And, Eddie, you're a big rodeo guy. I had no idea.
Yeah, we do PBR over here. I had a blog out today. Bushwhacker, I talked a little bit about him on the Yak. He is one of the best animal athletes we've ever had on the planet, right next to Seabiscuit and Secretariat. they call him the Michael Jordan of bull riding. He's retired now, but I always want to give him the shine that he deserves whenever I can.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the bull they were talking about yesterday?
Bruiser. And Eddie wrote about Bruiser in his blog. And it's crazy. They're coming out here this weekend. The rodeo's going to be out here this weekend. I feel like that's some kind of sign for the bear. I don't know, but I'm going to ignore it.
How pissed are you guys? I mean, I'm sure you like it because you're finally full time here. But your city gets a home game, first round home game, and you got to leave to come to New York. That's got to suck, too.
Yeah.
No, Eddie,
I mean, that's my first week in Barstool in a nutshell. It's like, here's your playoff game, first time in 8 years, come to New York. So
Carl and I are staying back, and Carl and I are going to the game, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very so nice. Carl and I got actually hooked up by one of the head honchos with the Bears, not to brag. So we have sign-on passes and everything. And, yeah, we're going to be ripping it up out here, blogging, and Eddie and Ryan, Chief, will be holding it down out in New York City.
Very good. All right, you boys have a good time at the...
I want to say this real quick. Roan better be scared because we got the ultimate sabotage on him. Just so you guys all know, we're not going to say what it is because we know he's smart and he can mentally prepare for things. But we got some sabotage on him, so he better be ready.
Well, I hope it's not the row in like you're on the Bird Box boat because Kate already has that idea.
Sorry, guys. I already thought of that idea.
I don't even know what that is. Eddie drives circles right now, like just putting over medians and stuff. We're in the car still.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. All right, fellas. You guys have a good time at the basketball game tonight.
Looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Love those guys. I have
All right, we're going to take a break real quick. 833-857-8665. When we get back, we'll get into the last of the week shenanigans and things like that. We'll be right back.